always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7. On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public trust. Absolutely public trust. We just had a disastrous hiring process where the public trust was lost. Not that the person that got hired, that was a county administrator's position, but when we lose public trust because we aren't open and transparent about how we do things, we fail. And that's very important that we open up and make public trust the number one thing with the people. Own it when we make a mistake. And I think we've made some mistakes, but recently that was the biggest mistake we've made.
Mike Kohler, current commissioner for District 2 at the Escambia County Commission, and I asked the question on Friday at the Women for Responsible Legislation Forum for candidates for District 2 and District 4, what's the greatest failure for Escambia County right now? He said public trust. His competitor in the Republican Party for the primary, Glenn Dorsey.
I think the biggest failure of the county right now is in the budgeting process. Again, we've had substantial increases to our budget that is not translating back to the basics. As we talk about keeping the base here locally, as we talk about recruiting new jobs, we have to make our community serve the public. And that is through good roads, stopping the drainage issues and failures, improving our parks so we can reduce crime so kids have a place to go to enjoy the open spaces. So I think that we need to do a much better job as with our county administrator in learning what departments need to change and how can we optimize that to better spend the taxpayer dollars.
In District 4, Ashley Hoffberger is running unopposed at the moment in the primary, but Joe Vinson is running as a no-party affiliation candidate in the general election. There's also a Democrat running in D2, but he has raised $350 compared to their tens of thousands. And based on the quality of the answers given, I'm not going to focus on him a lot. I always appreciate anybody who runs, but in just, A, it's a Republican district, so the primary is going to be the election. B, I didn't find his answers to be particularly compelling. So as a candidate, I think he's got some seasoning to, go through, which is fine. Everybody takes their first shot sometime. Matthias Robinson is the other candidate, the Democrat. There was also another one, a write-in candidate who didn't even show up. So I'm, obviously no coverage there. But anyway, in District 4, again, Ashley Hoffberger and Joe Vinson. Joe Vinson has raised no money so far. Ashley Hoffberger has, I think, like $70,000 that she's raised so far. Obviously, as the incumbent, she's the odds-on favorite and unopposed right now during the primary. So just for context for what the election is likely to shape up as. So I asked the question again, what's the greatest failure of Escambia County government right now?
What I hear is people saying open and transparent government. I want to say it is actually clear communication. We do have a pretty transparent government, but we don't do a great job in communicating things. For example, part of the reason the budget has grown so much is because we've done such a good job of bringing in grant dollars. If you look at what has actually grown, it's not the general budget. We need to do a better job of explaining our policies and how those policies play into the everyday decisions that we make. So I think focusing on clear communication, giving that information ahead of time, would be much better. And that's something that we can all be proactive of.
No, I actually really agree. I don't know about how much of the budget is fluctuated based on grants or grant funding. I think some. I don't know how to weigh that. I don't know the number offhand. I mean, it is, I'm sure millions, maybe tens of millions of dollars a year in a budget of $800 million. That's not nothing. How much that's responsible for the swelling of the budget, again, I just don't feel qualified to say. She says it's significant. But also the clarity, communicating to people what we're doing and why we're doing it. Every single government can do better at this. Every single government can do better at this. And it is it's an unwinnable war of sorts, because I'll give you an example. In city of Pensacola, I think, you know, Mayor Reeves goes out of his way to try to do this well, you know, doing all kinds of interviews and doing a press conference every week and, you know, trying to explain things to people. And he's very active online, you know, in terms of answering people's questions and their arguments and their criticisms on social media. And as great as that effort is, it still pales in comparison with the amount of low information that a lot of people, or misinformation that people have. It is an unwinnable war, but you still have to try. Joe Vinson.
I think Commissioner Kohler said it very well. So I'll just I'll echo that, and I will add, I think, accountability. I think when you have processes that are set out and then those processes are not followed, it raises a lot of questions. And I think, you know, a lot of politicians, you know, especially on the Republican Party side, they'll come to forums like this and they'll say, you know, I'm small government, I'm fiscally responsible. But, you know, my entire adult life, I've heard that. But how many times do you think the budget has actually shrunk? So, you know, I think we need to hold people accountable when they say they're going to shrink the budget, and to look at what is causing those growths.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair concern. You know, they did do, a partial rollback a little bit, you know. But, yeah, the budget itself did not get smaller. Of course, the cost of things keeps going up, and if you want the same level of service, guess what that means. But, you know, it's a fair criticism that, you know, Republicans do always talk about smaller government, and then it's not that common to actually make it smaller. Of all things, the budget in the state of Florida is one of those things where, you know, it's you have to say there's a lot of cuts. There's a lot of cutbacks, a lot of restrictions that were wisely managed. You know, give credit where credit is due. DeSantis and, you know, Governor Scott before him have done quite a good job of being, you know, fiscally responsible at the state level. Of course, there's been other things where they push costs out down to the locals, and we could have a long conversation about that. But just in terms of the top line numbers, you know, how much money we have in reserve, you know, what our level of spending is compared to other states and level of taxation compared to other states and the size of our budget and efforts to control it. You know, you do have to give credit to Republicans at the state level for that, I think. We'll come back to this in a second for another question. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Scenic Highway at I-10. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are about a year to three, maybe 4 years young, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles is kind of the sweet spot for them. Cars that you can count on driving for a long time. If you're like me, we love to buy the kind of cars that Frontier sells, and then we drive them into the ground. And then we buy another car that Frontier sells, and we drive it into the ground. Like, that's how we do. I tend to hold and drive cars for 10 or 12 years and put, not always Honda for me, you know, and so I'm putting 200,000 or 300,000 miles on a car, and then I'll buy another one that they sell because that's what they specialize in. They warranty it all to 100,000 miles or 10 years. That's included. And a lot of selection. You know, I know I'm buying a Honda, a lot of selection. And if you want them to go looking for a car, like they don't have it on the lot, and you want them to go looking for a color or a trim level or a price based on the mileage or the year, they will do that. They go looking for people for cars all the time. Think of them as your personal car buyer. They're glad to do that. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the conversation at the forum on Friday, the Women for Responsible Legislation forum that I was asked to be the moderator of. Big question that is on a lot of people's minds.
Discretionary funds have become a major flashpoint in the county right now. Two-part question. Do you think it's legal for the county to give money to individual benefits like a sports team that goes to a state competition? Number two, if it is legal, do you think that that's the best way to spend the money? Are you going to continue having discretionary funds, or would you get rid of discretionary funds? So is it legal, and do you plan to continue the practice if you're the commissioner?
All right, and I guess I'll... It's weird of me to say it and then not prove the fact, but here's Matthias Robinson's answer. He's the Democrat, the one I said, you know, probably does not have any chance whatsoever in the general election, but here goes. Here's some. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but here's some of his answer.
I believe two things can be right at one time. I agree with not using discretionary funds to fund certain things that's not, you know, for the, you know, for the roles or just for the community, and, you know, not for the kids or nothing like that, because I know it's a big thing. But I think that we should come up with a solution that we are able to pool funds from that. You have the LET fund. they have a 25% 25% that they have to get back to the community. Why can't we use that?
Okay, so I just wanted to let you have a hear at his answer. Then I asked the question again to Mike Kohler.
Mike, is it legal to give funds to private individuals through the discretionary funds? Second, will you continue the practice if reelected?
Well, as you know, that's going to the court system. The clerk paid discretionary funds for 12 years and stopped paying them in the last 24 months to the tune of close to $2 million. Then she stopped doing it. When I was chair, we went to the clerk, and our board voted to redo discretionary funds, and we changed them to community support funds to try to make them more stringent. I believe the board, like every other 67 counties, decides public purpose. Do I think we should be spending discretionary funds on certain things? Absolutely not. But you vote for five commissioners, a single one, and they decide public purpose. We'll see if the judge thinks that's right or not, but that's been the standard in the state of Florida since the beginning of our state. So that's where I'm at.
You know, I was kind of surprised that he didn't, you know, I like Mike, okay? I think, you know, I get along well with him. I think he's been a fairly good commissioner. We've disagreed about, you know, some fairly significant things, but that's fine. That's normal. I was surprised he just didn't say yes. Is it legal? Yes. I mean, he voted for it. If you vote for something, you should think it's legal. And if you're not sure whether it's legal, you know, that whole, like, we're going to let the lawyers figure it out. I mean, if I were him, I would have said, yeah, it's legal. And I certainly thought so. Now, if the court comes back and tells us we can't do it, well, fine. I mean, we'll take their direction. But certainly, I think it's legal. I voted for it, of course. You know, it's kind of different from the answering, like, let the lawyers decide. Glenn Dorsey, same question.
It's unfortunate that...
By the way, are they legal and would you continue using them?
It's unfortunate that our community is going to be involved in litigation regarding giving away taxpayer dollars to certain charities. I think that is certainly best held by the private. I do not support giving away taxpayer dollars out to the worthy charities. I do support those charities. When it comes down to the discretionary funds, I believe the original intent was to fix things. I recently visited Mayfair Community Park. They need trash cans. They have rusted equipment that is going to hurt the children out there. That's where the $50,000 is best spent. When there is a need, the commissioner can immediately appropriate the funds to take care of those individual needs. So only for the public benefit.
So that to me sounds very much like he's opposed to using it in the ways that it has been used to support private charities or in that, you know, the sports team from the school. Infrastructure only seems to be his emphasis. Ashley Hoffberger, current commissioner for District 4.
I don't know if it was legal, but I know I was not elected to make legal decisions. I was elected to do what my community asked. And what I have heard from my community is my property taxes are too high, and I don't know why you're taking my property tax dollars and giving it to a charity that I have no control over. So whether it's legal or not, I don't think that it's right. I have committed to making sure that all of my discretionary dollars go to county projects, and that's why we have new cameras out on Pensacola Beach to make sure that the community is safe and to support the Sheriff's Department in his endeavors to keep the entire county and our visitors and our economy safe and secure.
So, again, not sure whether it's legal, but certainly the use should be for infrastructure, public benefit, not private benefit. Joe Vinson.
As others have said, this is currently going through litigation, so we'll find out what the courts say. To my knowledge, there's not been any sweeping ruling saying that discretionary funds are illegal. There are applicable state laws about the use of any public funds, and so I would only support expenditures that would comply with those laws. The main thing to me is consistency. If we have discretionary funds, let's make sure that they are, you know, being granted or you know, disallowed on a consistent set of rules. And again, it goes back to communication. I think one of the biggest problems is that people think that they are going to be okay until they find out at the last moment that they're not. And that hurts everyone for planning purposes.
And again, being able to count on them or not and getting clear yeses and nos, I would agree that that is also important. That's actually why this legal wrangle, you know, between the clerk and a couple of these charities is going to be very interesting and should produce a clear answer, which we all deserve to have a clear answer about it. Anyway, so some of the, you know, just some of the back and forth from these candidates about things that you might find interesting. We'll have more at the 7:10 segment, and I'll just say this way in advance. The one, what I thought was a very substantial news item that came out of this debate or forum, I'll talk about that next hour. So you'll you'll want to catch that. 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance partners with local and state stakeholders to compete for companies that are considering Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and the town of Century. These jobs, wages, and investment deliver real returns for our residents. These outcomes strengthen Escambia County's economy and protect taxpayer interests through disciplined, results-driven economic development. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Guess who?
Morning, 6:25 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. PJ has traffic on the fives. PJ?
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. Mobile highways clear through Beulah. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Faster. That's perfect. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. In a shocking development, President Trump is rejecting Iran's response to end proposal to end the war. In a Sunday post on Truth Social, the president said he'd read the response from what he called Iran's, quote, so-called representatives, and said it was totally unacceptable. I don't know if you had a chance to peruse that.
I remember what I said the other day. I said that in general, I have learned to stop paying a lot of attention to what President Trump says because as a news source, I don't consider him to be highly reliable. Okay, I'll say it lightly that way. But especially during war, when part of his job is to be misinformation and disinformation towards the enemy and negotiate, and he's in the negotiation mode, I mean, call me when it's over. I mean, I don't know what to say at any point. And oddly, I did watch the Cheryl Atkinson interview, at least some of it, especially his questions about the Iran war. Maybe I'll play those in a second. But go ahead. Whatever.
All right. Authorities in Texas investigating. Six people apparently found dead inside a railroad boxcar yesterday. The bodies were discovered during an inspection at a rail yard in Laredo, not far from the U.S.-Mexico border. And Energy Secretary Chris Wright says that the president is open to all ideas to lower gas prices. When asked if that could include suspending the federal gas tax, Wright told NBC's Meet the Press that the administration supports, quote, all measures that can be taken to lower the price at the fuel pump.
All right. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. A couple of people texted me about the comments about discretionary funds. Somebody says if these commissioners want to fund charities to buy votes, they can use their own money and not mine, which has largely been the position of the clerk, Pam Childers. Somebody says if Ashley is against using them, why did she vote to approve discretionary funds for nonprofits? She voted one way and talks a different way. I don't know. I'd have to look back at her votes to see. I don't think that's wrong. I mean, I think she probably has voted to approve some of these things. I don't know if it's been an issue since Pam Childers raised the issue. I just, as a fact, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, and I apologize. I can't give you a better fact assessment of that claim. And then somebody else says, well, you can solve the problem real easy. Just get rid of discretionary funds, and nobody has to worry about it. Yeah, right. I mean, it's, you know, that's been kind of my position for a long time. That's been the position of well, it was Doug Underhill's position, you know, and Pam is now raising the issue not of you should get rid of them, but you have to because they do not, all of them anyway, do not serve a community or a county purpose. 437-1620. Oh, if you watch baseball, and I know maybe you do not, but the Cardinals, who was, of course, my team, were playing the Pirates on Friday. And the bases were loaded with J.J. Weatherholt up in the fifth inning with a tie, zero score. Okay, nobody had scored yet.
1-1 the count, and the pitch to J.J.'s hit into right field for a base hit. One run scores. Here comes another. Oh, and it got underneath Tatis. It's going all the way to the wall. Here comes a third run. And rounding third is Weatherholt. He's going to score. 4-0 Cardinals. Wow, what a break.
The grand slam is not the funny part.
Reminds me of the Little League days. That was a Little League home run.
And in the park, Little League style home run, because it went under Fernando Tatis Jr.'s glove in right field. And you could see he was trying to get to make the play at the plate for somebody, and just bloop, bloop, right under the glove, and it goes all the way to the wall, so he has to reverse course, get back there, and by that time, Weatherholt had come all the way around. So they're calling it the Little League grand slam. It doesn't count as a grand slam. It does not count as a home run. It's a single and an error, and that's probably the right scoring for it. But, you know, in the Little League world, that's... Because, you know, Little League home runs, it's like 14 people touch the ball and you wind up rounding the bases just like you see in softball or something like that. So it was a funny moment, and that's pretty much what everybody called it, both on TV and radio, is the Little League grand slam. Just... embarrassing. I'm just glad it happened for my team and not against my team, because that kind of thing could happen against anybody. Cesar Chirico was back in town, the Vice Admiral three-star, talking on Friday at the Navy Days Gala. We'll cover that next.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Oil prices are higher after President Trump rejects a counter-proposal for peace with Iran.
Markets responding to pessimism over potential peace between the United States and Iran. President Trump yesterday said Iran's latest proposal was totally unacceptable. According to Iranian state media, Tehran's demanding compensation for war damage, and the Iranians say they should have sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Water Secretary Pete Hegseth says Arizona Senate Democrat Mark Kelly will be investigated for speaking on CBS Face the Nation about a classified briefing about weapons stockpiles and Iran.
We've expended a lot of munitions, and that means the American people are less safe.
Kelly, a retired Navy captain, responds Secretary Hegseth spoke about the stockpiles himself during a public Senate hearing last week. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 66 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies this morning, and we'll check in with Brooke Richardson for a full look at our forecast. That's up in just a few minutes. We are still waiting for new dates on the postponed Pensacola Navy Days Parade, 4K Run, and Family Fest. Those events had to be pushed back Saturday due to the heavy rain across the area after Escambia Schools pulled ROTC members from the run and parade. Their new dates are being coordinated with city officials and military partners. Other weekend Navy Days events, though, such as the Night at the Museum Gala and the golf tournament, all went on as planned on Saturday. Coast Guard cutter tours at Plaza de Luna also drew lots of people Friday through Sunday. Well, one of the largest employers in northern Escambia County is getting even bigger. West Fraser Timber, one of the world's largest producers of renewable wood products, investing more than $70 million in the McDavid Mill. Escambia County Commissioners approving the tax exemption last week to help make that happen. Commissioner Stephen Berry, he says he's watched the mill grow over the years.
I'm excited that the project's moving forward. It's nice to see you, and happy to support you, supporting Escambia County and their employees. It was interesting when I heard how much, you know, if you're not in the business, you just don't know. And until anecdotally, I was told how much of what you produce actually goes to local, you know, to local supply. You know, you have contracts with, you know, publicly traded companies here locally, and you supply. It sounded like a very decent, if not the majority of lumber that's being sold, you know, that people are seeing at Lowe's or Home Depot.
The expansion includes two new kilns and a renewable energy system that should come online next month. West Fraser is also adding 30 jobs, bringing total employment at the mill up to nearly 170. One person is dead, two others critically injured after a head-on crash on State Road 87 north in Santa Rosa County on Sunday. The Florida Highway Patrol says a van that was traveling south crossed over into the northbound lane and struck another van head-on. The driver of the second van, a 79-year-old Kentucky man, was killed. His passenger and the driver of the first van, a 63-year-old Alabama woman, were both critically injured and taken to a local hospital. A woman's wanted after robbing a Tom Thumb convenience store near Fort Walton Beach at gunpoint Saturday. Okaloosa County deputies say the woman concealed her hand in a sweatshirt, claimed to have a firearm, threatened the clerk, and fled with cigarettes from that store. Surveillance footage captured her face. Anybody with information is asked to contact the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. A Broward County man has died after a rare bear attack in Montana. Davies Anthony Polio was found dead Wednesday at Glacier National Park. The National Park Service says he went missing while hiking a few days ago. Based on the injuries, investigators say they believe he was killed by a bear. It would be the first deadly bear encounter in Glacier National Park in 28 years. It is 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 65 degrees with partly cloudy skies. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Travis brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk driving, your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit madmadd.org. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. If you're on US 98 east and westbound through Navarre, that is flowing smooth as well. Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
We will have a high chance of rain as you head into your day today. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon, lasting into the evening. High near 80 degrees today with lows tonight near 68. For Tuesday, rain chances coming to an end with mostly sunny skies, high near 79. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And it is 6:35, your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
Alex Andrade, do the maps accomplish the goal of ending the race-based drawing? Do you think they were drawn for partisan advantage?
The first question, yes, I think it addresses race-based maps. It complies with the Clay decision, and it provided the justification to pass the map yesterday.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
What's with these homies dissing my girl? Why do they gotta front?
But I'll tell you, every personnel decision, every budget line, and every policy I'm responsible for aligns with fielding the world's most powerful, technologically advanced, and lethal maritime force. And that's a heavy lift. So I break it down and focus on three simple things.
Admiral Jeffrey, Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico, Caesar's his call sign, was here. He used to be the commanding officer, the two-star at the time when he was in charge of the Naval Education Training Command on board NES Pensacola. He's gone to D.C. to be the chief naval personnel. That means he's like the HR director for the Navy. Okay? He's in charge of all the people. Chief naval personnel for the entire Navy. And so, for example, you know, NETSI with all of its training, big element in the things that he deals with and, you know, recruiting sort of all, which is also a part of NETSI. But, you know, all of the HR kinds of things. He's the chief of naval personnel. There may also be some other HR elements, but I know that that's, you know, the large, if you want to think about his role. So all the sailors, you know, all the pilots, you know, everybody of that sort. And so a lot of what comes through here. And he was speaking at the Navy Days Gala on Friday, and it was a very interesting speech because a couple of things. Number one is not just his role in the Navy now that he's got promoted to three-star and he's gone to D.C., but the value that Pensacola, and not just Pensacola, but, you know, Santa Rosa and Escambia County, I want to not fail to include Whiting Field in this, and Corey Station, which we don't talk about a lot, which is not, I mean, it is a separate installation, but it is also not because it falls under the command the logistics and the facilities of Captain Chandra Newman. So it's not a separate CO for Corey. But we do tend to think of it as three different bases. Anyway, the three things that he is, you know, doing here or doing in general that he wants to think about is the foundry, the fleet, and the fight.
The foundry, Chandra, improving the infrastructure and support systems that sustain our force. You got an advocate. The fleet, ensuring our ships and squadrons and submarines remain powerful by design and are a result of relentless focus on maintaining uncompromising high standards for our people.
Okay, so the people, the foundry, as he's calling it, and again, the idea that NES Pensacola, Whiting, and Information Warriors who come out of Corey, that those are the basis of the Navy. You know, 344,000 men and women in the Navy, where did they come from? A lot of them came from here or came through here, not just pilots, but, you know, maintainers and information warriors and backseaters and, you know, lots and lots and lots of people. And if not directly through Pensacola per se, Naval Education Training Command that has this sprawling network of training operations all over the world, they touch that, you know, they go to Great Lakes and they come either here or they come through NETSI, which is, you know, based here. And recognizing the importance of Pensacola to that whole mission, and then the ships, the actual physical infrastructure of the ships, the subs, and the planes.
And lastly, the fight, investing in educated and trained sailors who become tougher and better versions of themselves, who allow to innovate and dig deeper than any of our adversaries could ever imagine. So everything starts here with community.
It starts here with community. And that's why, I mean, I would have reported on this speech anyway. I mean, it was there. It's a three-star, chief naval personnel comes to town. You talk about it, okay? You report on it. But to me, what was so important in his speech and what he was emphasizing is a thing that sometimes we forget, or maybe we just don't think about enough, or maybe we do know, but it's still good to hear it again and again, is that our culture, our geography, our way we support the military here in this two-county area is vital, is a national defense initiative, and that we all have a role to play in being the kind of place that is the launching pad for these military careers. These young, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, and, you know, they come here, maybe if their officers are just a little bit older, but they come here, and then they go to the fleet. And they form the backbone of this 344,000-person Navy and also the Marines around the world, especially if they're pilots, right?
Pensacola is a strategic asset, but it's that and so much more. It's actually part of my personnel journey. The city isn't just a Navy town. It's Naval Aviation's hometown.
Love that.
The cradle, right, Chandra?
That's Chandra Newman.
With a chance for a dream for a young Cherico 35 years ago, became a reality, a dream of flight. The bond between this city and our Navy is woven into the very fabric of our shared mission of supporting the journey to achieve that dream for thousands.
And, I was talking with Cherico a little bit and, Admiral Cherico a little bit. And one of the things he was kind of, he's been in D.C. for 11 months. And, I mean, working at the Pentagon is not, it's not fun. It's not the vacation. It's not, it can be a very difficult experience. You're like, difficult for somebody who's gone off to war? Yeah. Because it's a different kind of challenge, right? You know, doing what you're trying to do, what you wanted to do for years and years and going off to fight that fight and, be in the middle of it and be deployed and, fire guns and drop bombs and, man stations is one thing, but fighting the politics and the bureaucracy and the boneheadedness a lot of times and the finance thing. And, he's got, just for emphasis, he's got 8 kids, 6 of which are in the Navy or the Marines. 3 of them are in aviation, came through here as aviators or backseaters. So think about this. You're the guy who's in charge of all of the personnel for the entire Navy, and you know that the lives of 6 of your kids are in your hands, right? Basically, based on your decisions and the funding you can't get to make things better for all the Navy personnel, but also your kids. That would wear on me. I'm sure I know it wears on him, and he very much views Pensacola as a refuge, as a place of, homecoming and being able to come here and just mentally break from the stress of being in D.C. And I thought the speech was great, but I know that's what he was trying to communicate to us is how vital Pensacola is as a place to members of the Navy who start here and maybe come back here later. I'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. No problems or delays to report. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Now, it was funny. He was quoting at least 2 different times from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who is the author of The Little Prince. You might know him as. He had other writings as well, but this is adorable.
One of my favorite aviation authors, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I looked it up. That's how you say it. But I've read all his books. He said, I fly because it releases my mind from the tyranny of petty things. When you've cut your bonds with the earth for the first time, you're given the gift of being forced to rise above the day-to-day. And you're given a chance to glimpse the beauty and sometimes the danger of this creation. Life gets real when you get airborne. Every aviator in here knows that. There's no pulling over to the side of the road to sort things out. And you've got to make do with what you know and what you've learned. It's a great life lesson.
We put them up in the air or we put them out to sea and they've got to make do with what they've got in that situation. Yeah, based on the training they get here.
And I know this from my own experience. My time as a student naval aviator, as I said many years ago, or as the Admiral at NETC, has edged this community and our shared mission and responsibilities all across my career and deeply into the fabric of my life, especially as I was unbanned from Flounders. That's why I admitted it on my assumption of command at NETC, so I could get that out there.
I forgot about that he had been banned from Flounders, and he talked about that when he took command. And now they've unbanned him because, you can't have a 3-star band from Flounders. That doesn't really work well. But that's the point, is his whole life story is heavily intertwined with here. These bases, these places, this people, this culture, this place of activity and recreation and training and preparation.
So back to Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. He also wrote, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men to gather wood or divide the work and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. This is what Pensacola does. This community doesn't simply train sailors, though it trains a lot. We teach them all to yearn for the vast and endless sea, the sea of possibilities of a life in naval service. As long as they dare to try.
Training them to know their mission, but training them to love the idea of the adventure of the sea and of the value of their mission. I'm a big fan. I'm a big Cherico fan, big Caesar fan.
And as you know, this connection runs deep in my own family as the father of 8, 6 in the Naval Service, and 3 of my kids started right here as well.
One Marine daughter who's here right now.
I also see this mission through a different lens. When I look at the young men and women who raise their right hand and swear the oath, I don't only see sailors, I see sons and daughters and friends and neighbors. I also see the immense trust these families have placed in us, Lucky.
That's Tim Kinsley is talking to former base commander before John Newman, before Village, Terry Shashadi, so 3 base commanders ago.
I always remember that for everything I do as a 3-star, there's a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter at the end of every decision I make. And it's a treasure I reverently hold dear.
And not to, again, belabor the obvious, but that's not just some theoretical thing that he has to wake up and, force himself to remember. That's his kids, his wife, their children. He knows that those are the people affected by the decisions that he makes. I mean, talk about having, the right kind of motivation and perspective for the person who's in charge of all the people in the Navy.
We should all look back with a deep sense of satisfaction at 200 years of Navy in Pensacola. And an almost 200-year-old house there, Capo, that we both lived in. Chandra, fix the stables, please. I'll get you the money. You're welcome.
I know that's hard to hear, but he's talking about Quarters A, where the admiral in residence for Netsy lives, and he lived for 2 years. He's talking to Capo Admiral Huffman, who's the current commanding officer, and he's like, I think it said fix the stables, or I'm not sure what he was, I couldn't quite catch the noun there, but... He's like, I'll get you the money, Chandra. She's like, thanks. Appreciate that.
Tonight, I'd like to leave you with one charge. Do what you do best. Continue to teach and inspire young Americans to yearn for the vast sea of possibilities of service.
And not just for the military people who are responsible for the training, but us, the community. We play a big role in forming the Navy because so many sailors come right through here. Over 55,000 a year come through Corey, Whiting, and NES Pensacola.
So to the entire Pensacola community, all of us in uniform and in civilian clothes, thank you for being the bedrock of support for our sailors and their families. Thank you for being the home they launch from, and for many of us, the safe runway we return to. Thank you. God bless you all.
The safe runway we return to. Man. Yeah. And, you don't usually expect a 3-star to be super emotional, but I could hear it a couple of times in his voice cracking a little bit and just how he thinks about the stresses he's under right now being in D.C., being able to take a break from that to come back here and to take in a ball game and, joke around about his daughter not getting proposed to like he thought she was going to, like that kind of stuff. But again, 6 kids and we're in war. His kids are at war. Some of them are at war right now and training for it if they're not at it, And thinking about what Pensacola means to him and to the Navy and, in his family. It was very moving. 6:52, and especially because of some of the stuff I talked with him, personally about. It made me rethink even my own value in terms of affirming, encouraging, supporting, being a resource, shaping this community so that we have, good schools and good housing and good roads so that the people who deploy here, either for training or to be trainers or in whatever capacity they're here, that, this is the kind of community that people want to come to in all of its dimensions, I have a role to play in that too. And that's a national security task. How is a morning radio show a national security task? Well, I'll give you an example. We do a frivolous topic every day and we have laughter and fun. How is that a national security task? Morale, baby. there's a reason there's a whole department tasked with morale and welfare and recreation because that's part of, mental health and enjoying life and being a healthy community. And, how these things all tie together and your role, if you're, you're making drinks at Seville or you're making, steaks at Jackson's or you're, you know, taking tickets at a movie theater that the sailors are going to. I mean, we all have a role to play. There's value in all of that and in just making it a beautiful beach and a beautiful place to be. So anyway, it's my my affirmation of you as a member of this community and my encouragement to you to continue to work to make it the best community possible. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Christy D's Bad Juju takes the stage with rock, blues, and everything in between. Each show is full of high energy and good times from start to finish. So come out and have some fun at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass. And this week, don't miss the Gulfside Market.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. It's another gallery night, Friday evening in downtown Pensacola from 5 till 9. This month, celebrate Fiesta Italiana. Saturday and Sunday from 9 till 6, check out the Asian Pacific American Festival at the Phil-Am Cultural Center on West Oakfield. Experience the sights, traditions, and flavors of Asia and the Pacific during this family event. Free admission, see philampicola.org for more. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3. 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Go, go, Gadget Coach! Wowzers!
Good morning, 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I got a funny text in, just says, I'm so glad you played the speech from Admiral Cherico because I was at a table and couldn't understand a word he said. Same. I could barely understand either. The sound system, we have a lot of venues in this area where the sound systems are not, you know, awesome. Cherico's not a, like, doesn't have a piercing voice and he's not a very loud speaker, so... You know, I appreciate that because I honestly, half of his comments, I'm like, oh, they're laughing at the front. I'll have to find out what he said on the recording. So I feel you. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth right now. Not showing any slowdowns in Pine Forest or Carr City. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, an American passenger returning from the cruise ship with the deadly hantavirus outbreak apparently is now tested positive. A statement from the Department of Health and Human Services says one of the 17 Americans from the MV Hondius will be transported to the Nebraska Biocontainment Unit. Baseball mourning the loss of legendary Atlanta Braves manager Bobby Cox, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 84. Cox led the Braves to 14 straight division titles, guided the franchise to a World Series championship in 95, and became the winningest manager in team history.
I think Braves fans will say, you know, there was a point where when they had not yet won the World Series and even to a degree thereafter, it was like, how come we can win everything but the World Series? I know Braves fans had that feeling for a while. He was a legend, man. Most ejections of any manager all time. Well done, sir.
Absolutely.
You don't get a lot of ejections anymore with the, you know, instant replay and with the calls overturned on the, you know, ABS system. So, oh, by the way, small note. Are you a baseball fan, David? I can't remember. You're not much of a baseball fan.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit, yeah.
Did you know that the umpires, while ABS is happening, while people are doing the strikes and balls getting overturned by instant replay like they do in tennis with the ball, you know, showing up on plane, there's also an earpiece. And apparently the umpires will get told throughout the game if they're doing things wrong, like not necessarily because the calls are being challenged, but like the automated system folks will say, hey, you're calling that ball a little bit too far outside, or, you know, or a strike too far outside. Like they'll give them feedback during the game to try to coach them, you know, into doing better.
I bet they love that.
Well, I'll just say the ABS system has exposed some weaknesses in the system that we all knew were there to begin with. 658 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for a place to try for food, the Reservoir, wonderful fine casual dining operated by Pensacola City Councilman Casey Jones, renovated the former Milano Brothers corner store. This is right by PPD and the skate park, okay, on the east side of Hain Street. Anyway, Hain and Jackson on the southeast corner, kitty corner to PPD. He and his wife started doing this casual upscale. It's kind of a coffee shop vibe with, you know, really good quality food. But also, you know, they've got burgers, they've got lunch, they've got dinner, Saturday brunch, you know, ponzu crunch, Cuban sandwiches, shrimp and grits, oysters, scallops, filet, and, you know, burgers. The Kanekareka is their sausage biscuits, you know, sausage and biscuits. You should enjoy that. Handcrafted coffee, tea, the local Big Jerk soda. Just, you know, like a really eclectic kind of blend of things that they all just thought were cool. Beer on tap. And voted the best new restaurant in Pensacola's Inn Weekly. So that is located, again, at the corner of Hain and Jackson, southeast corner there. Kitty corner from Pensacola Police Department. Try it. It's a wonderful restaurant. What do the sitting county commissioners think about job performance for West Moreno? I'll tell you coming up next. Came up in the forum on Friday. Interesting comment.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.